About 20 years ago, I was much into children's literature because my child was in elementary school in those days. So what I did is that I went to a local library and checked out children's books. Not the, you know, contemporary ones, but mostly folk tales. I did one country after another and ended up doing like 40 books, and that covers five continents: North America, South America, Asia, Europe, and Africa, and no Australia. And anyway, after reading, you know, scores of books, you begin to understand the certain themes or common themes among these folk tales in the world. And I discovered at least three as follows. The first one is, don't be a simpleton. Don't be a fool. Be wise. And the other two are, don't be greedy. And the third one is, be the pursuer of good. Do good. I'm sure you already know by heart these things are important, even to adults. Anyway, I'm going to think about the first theme, like wisdom or be wise. I have not met any single one yet who doesn't want to be wise. Have you? So the real question is this. Ask yourself, am I wise? It all depends, right? I love that answer. Anytime you trick it, you say, it all depends. And half of the time it works. Now, let me begin with the definition of wisdom or wise so that we may stay on the same page. Wisdom, Oxford Dictionary says, is quality of being wise, wise thoughts, sayings, and etc. Wise is having or showing experience, knowledge, good judgment, prudence, and etc. So we all understand what wisdom or wise means. Here's another definition I personally like. It was defined by Pastor Chuck Swindoll. Wisdom, he says, is the ability to see with discernment, to view life as God perceives it. It is impossible for humans to manufacture it. I like his definition. It is impossible for any humans to manufacture it. Have you noticed that in the scripture, God talks about two types of wisdom? The wisdom of the world and God's wisdom. Let me talk a little bit about the wisdom of the world. Worldly wisdom, if you will. It is wisdom without God and without His boundaries. People would call us wise if we do and say certain things, not all the things, certain things in the ways that they would approve. For example, almost everyone in the world will say, get rich, be rich. Or how about this? A bumper sticker says, don't get upset, get even. I'm sure you've seen some of them. In their minds and hearts, there's no fear of God in the world, therefore, 10 commandments are just out the window. Now, there's the wisdom of God, which is spiritual wisdom, and it is wisdom that comes from above. It is the wisdom from God for our eternal good, such as, be rich toward God, not for yourself. Be content with what you have, but bless your enemies instead of cursing. Even a bumper sticker says, the best revenge is forgiveness. We keep the Ten Commandments out of love of the Lord and out of the love of our people, neighbors, not because of the punishment that follows the violations. That's God's wisdom. I'm going to dig a little deeper to make a distinction or differences between the two wisdoms. Please bear with me. The wisdom of the world focuses on the things that are visible. It is mainly concerned about the things here and now. It focuses on this world only. It talks about bread alone. It urges us to store up in this world. And this wisdom lasts only in this world, at most in the four scores of life. It is also temporary. It is wisdom that makes us wise in our own eyes. I've done a good job or some sort. And this wisdom does not come down from above. According to the Bible, it is earthly and natural, which means not of God. And it is rooted in arrogance and often associated with jealousy and selfish ambition. James 3:15 to 16 says, in the end, this wisdom becomes eternal disappointment. How about the wisdom of God? It is mainly concerned about the things that are invisible. It is wisdom that teaches us to fear God. It also reminds us to set our eyes beyond this world, to set our mind and heart on the things above. C.S. Lewis, the 20th century theologian in England, noticed this, that all the Christians who made significant contributions to human civilizations set their minds on heaven, that in turn enabled them to help others on this earth. Now listen yourself to him directly. He wrote this as follows in the book Mere Christianity. If you read history, he says, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great man who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. End of quote. The wisdom of God reminds us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by the word of God. It urges us to know Christ, the bread of life. It urges us to store up our wealth, not on earth, but in heaven. It views life as God perceives it, from eternal perspective. And this wisdom benefits us not only in this life, but also in the life that is to come. So when we follow God's wisdom, we may appear so foolish to the people in the world, but we will be wise in the sight of God. Now you can find this wisdom of God where? In the scripture. Listen, it describes like this in James 3:17. God's wisdom, the wisdom from above, it is pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. That alone requires another sermon, but let me move on. The end of this wisdom is what? Eternal happiness. Now, if you look at today's text one more time, you will see Paul, the apostle, making a stark and binary contrast between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. If you look at verse 19, he says this, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. These two wisdoms are opposite to each other. They reject each other. Each one's reasonings are useless to the other side. Verse 20. The worldly wisdom calls God's wisdom, in the case of the cross, the way God saved humanity through the cross. The worldly wisdom calls God's wisdom foolish. However, God makes the wisdom of the world foolish, and he will eventually destroy it. Now, these two types of wisdom, this is the reality going on. These two types of wisdom constantly clash in our lives and vie for our attention and loyalty to them. You and I must choose which wisdom we will follow and give our full allegiance to. Worldly wisdom or divine wisdom? The world or Christ, the wisdom of God? Don't try to get both. You simply cannot have both. Listen, in verse 18, if anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. You cannot be wise in the world and at the same time wise before God. It is impossible. A person who is very wise in the worldly sense can be really foolish in the eyes of the Lord, and vice versa, I said. Now, here's an example. If you remember the story of Jesus, we call parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. The story goes on like this. The man was very wealthy and did quite well. And he looked at his produce and looked at the size of his barn. There's no room to put more in the barn. So what he did is he tore down the smaller barns and built the bigger barns to have everything in the new barns. And that night when he completed the project, he was so happy that he was speaking to himself, "My soul, everything is done. Let us rejoice. Let's drink and eat." Story goes on. The same night, God called him home, calling him, "You fool." I'm just quoting what the Bible says. As I was praying last night about the sermon tonight, God just summarized in my mind and heart, there are certain fools in the sight of God. At least the following three. The one who only thinks of this world, the one seeks bread alone, physical aspect of life. Second type of people who are foolish is this. The one who keeps all the wealth to self, the one who is rich for himself or herself, but poor toward God. The third fool is the one who hears God's word, yet never obeys it. And God also provides the remedies for such foolishness as follows. If you want to be wise in the sight of God, which I do, remember the following three things. Number one, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Think of heaven often. Earth is not your final resting place. Heaven is. Death is not final either. You have resurrection awaiting. Seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first. Set your priorities straight. Second remedy is this. Share your wealth and blessings with others. John Wesley once said, I quote, "Get all you can." Nothing wrong. Working hard and, you know, it's accumulating wealth. Save all you can, he says. And give all you can. Remember the rich fool. The third remedy for foolishness is this. Live out, act on God's word, not just hear it. It's never enough for you to listen to the sermon Sunday after Sunday. If you only hear God's word and never practice it, Jesus says, you are a fool. I am a fool. Now listen to Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. And therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I would close my sermon with this. Jesus commands us in Matthew chapter 10, be wise as serpents. Of course, he's not talking about the worldly wisdom. He's talking about God's wisdom. Therefore, folks, I urge you this morning to choose God's wisdom. Let me tell you this. If you do, it will pay off its dividends, such as eternal life, love, joy, peace, self-control, gentleness, all the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit is there. And you will enjoy them, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Be wise in the sight of the Lord, and occupy your mind and heart with heaven. Set your mind on the things above, and be rich, not for yourself, but toward God, and share your wealth with others, and live out, act on God's will day in, day out. And then you will be wise. You will be forever blessed. Let's bow our heads and pray. There's one thing that I don't want to be, is be a fool in your sight, Lord. After living scores of my life and when God said, you are a fool, I don't want to hear that. I'm sure none of us, Lord. There are certain things that we need to avoid. First of all, the tendency to be conformed to the pattern of the world. How do we avoid that, Lord? By renewing our heart and mind with your word and with our prayers daily. Help us be wise in your sight, Lord, because that wins in the end, and that matters eternally. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.